Welcome to worship at Knox United Church in Parksville, and we're delighted that you are joining with us today virtually. And we light the Christ candle as a reminder that the light of Christ is with us wherever we may be, at home or in this beautiful sanctuary. May it fill our hearts and give us the peace that passes all understanding. And before we begin to worship, I'd like to invite you. I noticed it wasn't in the Knox E-News, but next week we'll be celebrating Mother's Day, and we'll be celebrating and sharing good news experiences. And so I'd like you to send in pictures of mothers with children, grandchildren, aunts with nieces and nephews, so we can have a PowerPoint celebration of all of our families together. And the other thing is, if you have some good news experiences that you'd like to share, it would be great to send those in to me, email those in, and I'll be able to include them in the service next week. So, as we experience the peace of Christ moving among us, I'd invite you to, in the time when Jenny is offering her gift of music, that we reach out virtually to all those with whom we need to make peace, and we send our love and care and Christ's peace to one another. And thinking of the faces of those who normally gather at Knox and those who are closest to you in your lives, and even strangers in this world, please send your peace. As we begin to worship, we are reminded of the theme of our service today, which is finding faith in an age of COVID. And so to do that, we sing together a beautiful evening hymn, which we don't often get to do in the morning, but it's so beautiful, and just sink into the words of the assurance that God is with us through it all, in the quiet curve of evening. Thank you. Let us open our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Sacred source of all life, we give thanks that no matter what befalls us, you are there. We give thanks that we can sense you in a song, in a beautiful piece of music, in words of scripture that encourage and inspire, in the smile of a stranger passing by on the path. We give thanks that no matter how difficult this situation might be, whether too much togetherness or too much aloneness or just too much overwhelming change, that you are with us through it all. For your presence with us, we are grateful and give thanks. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And it's a story where Jesus has just come off and had an amazing experience of transfiguration, where he has had this holy experience of meeting Elijah and Moses, who are giving him some encouragement for the journey. And he comes down into the crowd, and he is approached by a father whose son is struggling with epilepsy, and he is overwhelmed. And so Jesus heals the boy and discovers that the disciples failed to do so and becomes a little frustrated. So let us read his words. When they came to the crowd, a man came to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Have you noticed how in this age of COVID-19, it feels like we're all living on the set of Star Wars, and we're all playing Darth Vader? We're wearing masks, not visiting our children, remaining socially distant, and following orders. Today in our scripture reading, the disciples come to Jesus frustrated because they couldn't heal the boy who is suffering from seizures. So they come to Jesus and they ask, "Why couldn't we heal him?" I think I can relate to the disciples feeling overwhelmed and frustrated by the demon in our scripture story this morning. Sometimes it feels like there's just too much stuff, too much bad stuff, evil, assailing us. And I define evil as that which is intentionally or purposefully doing harm to life. And we get so overwhelmed that we feel like sometimes giving up. In Jesus' time, there was a belief that illness and plagues and all bad things, like viruses, came from the presence of an evil spirit in a person's life. Now, most of us don't believe in the presence of evil spirits as the cause of illness. We understand about the causes of epileptic seizures and the neurology of the human brain. And we understand about cancer and how cancer cells mutate and destroy healthy cells. And we understand from a scientific perspective that microscopic organisms we call viruses can invade the human body through openings in our bodies, and our organs can be infected and destroyed. We understand that people sometimes suffer from delusions and mental stresses, and that people can have psychotic episodes and go on rampages in small towns, destroying innocent people's lives and shattering families. And we understand that ice can melt so fast in the springtime that our rivers can overflow and floods happen and people drown and families mourn. We understand all that. We understand the reasons in our postmodern times. But regardless if we understand the true causes and sources of these happenings, it doesn't make it any easier. We still feel like the disciples, overwhelmed by the power of evil, of destruction, of all the challenges and tragedies that befall us. Because when bad things happen to us, beyond our control, it feels as if demons have assailed us, and our hearts break, and our spirits shatter, and our minds fill with despairing thoughts. And unfortunately, if the disciples were expecting some lovely pastoral care and compassion from Jesus, he doesn't offer it. Instead, it appears that Jesus becomes highly frustrated by the disciples' inability to bring healing to this boy and his family. And in utter frustration, Jesus wonders, "How long do I have to put up with you people?" And he scolds them for not having enough faith. And we think, "Wow, Jesus, where is your usual compassion?" But I think we can relate to Jesus today too. We wonder in this time of self-isolation whether we're cooped up with a bunch of kids and a dog, or whether we're living on our own and lonesome for a touch of human connection, or whether we're finding ourselves worried about the loss of employment and income. We wonder, how long is this going to go on for? How much longer do I have to live like this? And so, like Jesus, we too can become irritable and blow up at someone and get frustrated. So I personally find it reassuring to see the very human Jesus unapologetically having a very bad day, in which he too can be overwhelmed by responsibilities and everything feels like it's falling on his shoulders to fix it all. So it seems to me that in this story, everyone is overwhelmed by the stresses and challenges of life. The boy and his father are overwhelmed, the disciples are overwhelmed, and even Jesus is overwhelmed by the circumstance of what feels like a demonic assault. So what guidance does Jesus ultimately offer the disciples when they wonder why they were powerless in the face of this out-of-control situation? "Just have a little bit of faith," says Jesus. It doesn't have to be big or well thought out. It doesn't have to have doctrines or religious dogmas or theological theories to back it up. If you just have the smallest, tiniest little bit of faith, the size of a tiny seed of mustard, which is pretty teeny tiny, you can move mountains. So the question is, but how do we get that little bit of teeny tiny faith? In the 80s, James Fowler came up with his theory of how faith develops, and he marked out 6 stages. And then Scott Peck came along in the 90s and simplified the stages into 4. According to both Fowler and Peck, in stage 1, we all experience a childlike faith, characterized by a literal and concrete and magical understanding of the world. As little ones, we have a childlike faith that reindeer can fly and virgins can make babies, and Jesus can rise from the dead because our parents or someone in authority told us so. Encouraged to just have faith, some people choose to remain in this stage of faith for the rest of their lives, never questioning it, but holding to the belief that if we just believe hard enough, our believing something makes it true. Something like the magical thinking of the president of the USA, who thinks that if he believes a certain drug or a disinfectant will work to treat the virus, it makes it so. For someone in stage one of faith, any belief or logic that threatens that magical childlike faith is considered a lack of true faith and an insult to an omnipotent God that is supposed to be in complete control of everything that is happening. In stage one, we think that our faith can convince God to make things happen for us, and that God will obey us and our will, and in effect, we're really taking control of everything that happens, not God at all. In adolescence, we move into a second stage of faith. It can often be a more formal or institutional faith. When this childlike faith evolves and teenagers begin to synthesize some of the stories and the teachings of the formal institutions and pick and choose and settle on a faith that works for them, most likely the same faith of their parents. At this stage, we don't realize we're living in a set belief system. We might not realize our faith is in a certain box because it's the only box we've ever lived in. We haven't been exposed to other belief perspectives. And it doesn't occur to us to question the truths taught by parents or the faith community. Many people choose to remain in this second stage of faith because, for the most part, life pretty much has begun to make sense from this vantage point. But as a person ages and approaches young or middle adulthood, a lot more of life begins to happen. And there is usually entrance into a third stage of faith development, which Peck names as the skeptic individual stage. There is usually a crisis or an event or a turning point that occurs, which prompts a person to begin to question, really question, the validity of their faith. Questions arise when people or pets we love die and they don't come back to us. We might begin to see the institutions that taught us these stories as naive and illogical and leave the faith community. Or we might decide to abandon the idea of the existence of a God at all. Because what good is a God if a God doesn't behave like a God should behave and be in complete control of everything that happens? Or, if we have faith the size of a teeny tiny mustard seed, we might just begin to go on a search. An intentional search for deeper meanings and understandings, and set out on our own quest for truth. During this real questioning and searching stage, we might choose to explore various other religions or philosophies, and some of those can either deepen our faith, or we can decide that no philosophy or no religion holds any value or truth. Or, in all of our searching and exploring, we might end up in the fourth stage of faith development, in which we come to a place of understanding that certainty is an elusive goal, and that there is no perfect religious system or philosophy that can answer all of our questions about life. In this fourth stage, we begin to realize that there is some truth to be found in stage one and in stage two, and come to a recognition that life is full of paradoxes and mystery, and we're never going to understand all of it. And in this fourth stage, there is a sense of acceptance and peace in the not being able to figure it all out in our heads. When we come to realize that the experience of God, of mystery, is far more fulfilling than the sorting out of the idea of God in our heads. In this fourth stage, where many never arrive, there is finally a sinking into and an enjoyment and trusting in the flow and mystery that is our own life. In this stage, there is a recognition of the importance of community and of being together rather than our own individual concerns. Peck calls this fourth stage mystery communal. Fowler calls it universalizing faith, in which, though few people arrive, when we are in this stage of faith, we will choose to live our lives to the full service of others and let go of worries or doubts, because we have managed to find God in every circumstance, that our tiny faith has taught us that sometimes cancer is cured and sometimes it isn't, that sometimes miracles happen and sometimes they don't. But we come to recognize that always, always through it all, the love and peace of God is present in all of it. And even stubborn mountains of doubt and hopelessness and despair and sorrow can be moved. Last Sunday, 5:37 p.m., my friend Dennis died of COVID-19. He went into the hospital 3 weeks earlier, believing with all of his 81 years of faith that he could beat this virus and come home to his wife and four adult children and grandchildren. He told all the nurses that he had still a lot more living to do, and he was going to walk out of the hospital and bring his friend Pat, who was also in hospital from the same church, and they were both going to walk and go home. Dennis had more, far more than a mustard seed of faith. He had spent his life growing a whole mustard tree of faith in which his family had nestled in his love and protection, grateful for his sense of humor and one-liners and goodness and loving kindness. And even though Dennis had enough faith the size of a mustard seed, the virus still destroyed every bit of the healthy tissue in his lungs, and his lungs became like lead. They couldn't move. Dennis couldn't move the mountain without being on a ventilator for the rest of his life. So God did what was the only thing that was left for a good God of love to do. When Dennis stopped breathing on his own, God picked up the spirit of Dennis, like Dennis had picked up so many of his sleeping children when they were small, and brought him home. At stage four of faith, we understand the paradox of life, that miracles are rare. If they were common, they wouldn't be a miracle. And we also understand that even if we don't get the miracle we prayed for, that doesn't mean that the one who created us doesn't love us just as much as the person who received a miracle. And that with a little faith, we can move mountains of grief and recognize the miracle of holy love present among us in spite of the grief. The miracle that his wife Pat, who had the virus too, survived. The miracle that his four children and their families managed to stay together on FaceTime, constantly supporting one another. The miracle that their son Jeff had just moved back from Thailand for these two past years, long enough for Dennis's grandson to get to know his grandfather better, and for this father and son to spend some wonderful times together. And that Dennis was able to walk with them, and Jeff was able to walk with them in such a time as this. We all know that living our lives through COVID-19 has been a gift for some, bringing relaxation and retirement. And for others, it's been a really difficult struggle. But if we can have just a little bit of faith, says Jesus, a tiny little bit of faith in ourselves, in one another, and in the goodness and love of God, some mountains can be moved. And miracles of treatment or testing or cure will be found. And ultimately, when all is said and done, we will all come home to the one who loved us all into being. So Jesus tells his followers, just have a little faith. Have a little faith in yourself, disciples. Have a little faith in each other and watch while I help you to move some mountains that need moving. May it be so. And so I'd invite you, wherever you are, to rise and to take your insert and to read together, very slowly, our United Church Creed that is a testimony to our collective faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Let us sing together, True Faith Needs No Defense. As the singing bowl invites us to prayer, let us join together as one people. God of infinite love, we give thanks that through the darkest times of our life, you are there. We pray this day for all those suffering in whatever way through this time of COVID-19. We pray for all those in hospitals, all those in care homes, all those ill at home. We pray for healthcare workers, for doctors, for nurses, for aides. Give them the strength and that they need to bring healing to all those who are in need. We pray this day for scientists and researchers, that they may find treatments and cures and vaccine that can help to heal all those who are suffering. O God, we call. O God, we call. We pray this day for all those among us who are ill, of body, mind, heart, and spirit, for those suffering from cancer, for those suffering and recovering from surgery, for all those waiting patiently for surgery, for all their caregivers, we pray for strength and hope and patience. We pray this day for the people of Nova Scotia, for all those who are brokenhearted around this beautiful country, for the loss of life, the senseless tragedy. We pray this day for all those who are suffering due to floods, those who have lost their homes on top of all of this. We pray for your world, for all the suffering, and we pray for healing. We pray for compassion for one another. We pray for our hands outstretched and our hearts expanded for love and care of one another. We give thanks for all the hearts in windows, for all the signs that add gratitude and encouragement to each one of us. For all those who are serving in this time, we give thanks and we pray for energy and for faith. O God, we call. Now in the silence, we bring before you our own thoughts, our own fears, our own hopes and dreams, and we pray, knowing that all of us are being supported by the prayers of one another. O God, whatever stage of faith we find ourselves in, we trust that you will guide us, you will lead us into a new day, that tomorrow will be better than today, and that we will be able together to move mountains. All this we pray in the name of the one who taught all those who would follow after him, pray, our Father and Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing together our heritage hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. Forth into your lives this week, knowing, trusting, having a little bit of faith that you do not walk this journey alone, that as you go, the God of love surrounds you, and the peace and the gentleness of the Christ is guiding you, and the Holy Spirit which dwells within you will give you the strength and courage you need for this day and every day. Amen.